Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm glad to have with me once again Ivan Bebek. He is the Executive Chairman and Director of RN Resources, and Ivan has had a very successful track record, he and his team, and they've made shareholders a lot of money with a couple of different projects that they worked on in the past, and we've gone over those in previous discussions with Ivan, but suffice it to say he's working on what he considers to be the best opportunity yet, and that's with RN Resources. Thanks for joining me again, Ivan.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back, Jay.
It's really good to have you, and I should mention before we get started that you're trading in the U.S. and in Toronto under the symbol AUG, 90.2 million shares outstanding. I see it around a little under a dollar these days in U.S. money, and that, I think, provides a tremendous opportunity. It is one of my favorite stocks. It is one of my larger personal holdings, but, you know, with your current share price, I think there's a lot of opportunity. That's why I'm really happy to have you here today to update our listeners on all that you have going on. Now, you have two main projects that you're working on, both of which are very exciting, the Committee Bay in Nunavut and the Sombrero project in Peru. I think between the two of them, the one I'm most excited about is the Sombrero project because it seems like you can work the year around down there pretty much, and you're going to be starting a very extensive drill program probably in 2019. We'll get to that, but perhaps since you just completed your season of exploration work up at the Committee Bay in the Nunavut, perhaps you could tell us about how that program went this year. What were you expecting to achieve at Committee Bay, and how did you come out on that with regard to your objectives?
Sure. Thanks, Jay. Well, Committee Bay has been our flagship for 4 years, and we've only had about 9 physical months or 8 months physically on the ground since we've been there in the last 4 years due to the seasonality and the Great White North, where it kind of sits. What we did in those 4 years is we've been trying to unlock the science behind targeting rocks that are underneath the dirt that had glaciers move on them from thousands of years ago. And that's certainly not an easy undertaking. And that's the only reason why the opportunity for Committee Bay exists. And if the rocks were all outcropped at the surface, you probably, you know, somebody would have drilled this long before us. So what our technical team did, and it's, you know, a lot of guys who were on a former global exploration team from Newmont, is they've not only designed a technique to get through targeting these, you know, covered rocks, but they've also pretty much sampled the entire 300-kilometer-long belt. So we have pretty good signatures from one end to the other. And last year, we drilled something called IVIC. IVIC, we hit a hole 13 or 12 meters of about 5 grams per ton. And we went back this year with a lot of ambition because we saw, you know, the fluids of the rocks and the grade that we're looking for as a start of a major deposit. And we drilled about a 1.5 kilometer long section, and we went a little bit south and a little bit north. And, you know, because we don't get results till we're done at the end of the season, we don't really know which way to keep going with the drill bit. And unfortunately for us, the best hole we drilled was the most furthest hole south of that drill plan. And obviously you're going to go and want to drill more in the southern direction. But what we did drill over the 1.5 kilometers was the exact same rocks, a lot of them, as exist in our Three Bluffs deposit, which is about 1.2 million ounces of 8 grams. So we're definitely in the right rocks. We're seeing the fluids go through the rocks. We're also seeing high grade. You know, it's 1.5 meters of high grade here and there, but you know, you're in a system, you're in a big system, and very strong fluids going through it. The only challenge that we have, and if you look at some of the discoveries, such as Amaruq, or if you look at Meliadine, the big one down south of us in the Arctic, you know, it takes time, and these systems are not simple. And because you're dealing with cover, and because, you know, we're putting the first holes ever into the target, it's going to take a little time to get to the juice of the target to where the deposit can start forming. And what I'll say is a final note on how that went, you know, drilling the best hole the furthest south, you know, visually of what the core looked like from a geological perspective, but also from the grade that we hit in the hole. And although it's not an impressive marked grade, it tells us the obvious nature of which way we should keep drilling. And that's something we're going to get back to next year. Now, we went and attacked Committee Bay because there's potential for multiple 5 million ounce discoveries. And that potential has not changed from day one. And that's the kind of reward we're looking to give shareholders. But in the meantime, as you mentioned, we got on a project named Sombrero. You made a very important observation about the year-round access that we get there. We've physically been on the ground at Sombrero more in the last year than we have in 4 years at Committee Bay. And so when we designed this portfolio of 7 projects, we were cognizant of the limited seasonality up north. And so we wanted to balance ourselves out with a southern project or southern projects. And that's what Sombrero fulfilled. Now, what's happened at Sombrero since we got there is it's gotten really big on us. And what I mean by that is, you know, there was an erosional window. There was some 5-gram gold, 9% copper sampled. You know, there's 3-gram gold, 4% copper sampled. And there's a lot of rocks indicating that there could be skarn and porphyry mineralization. And, you know, the reason why that was appealing to us, not just because of the grade, but not too far from us, there's a series of mines that have been found in Peru, one of them notably called Las Bambas. It's about 200 kilometers east. And I've heard the critics say, hey, Ivan, that's quite far away. How can you say it's so similar? But Las Bambas is hosted in the Ferrobamba limestone, which interacts with a very specific type of intrusive rock and a bunch of other rocks that are present. And all of those rocks that occur at Las Bambas occur at Sombrero. So the analog is pretty substantial to compare the two to each other. And then what we just announced a few days ago, or I think about 2 weeks ago, was the actual similarities in scale between Las Bambas and Sombrero. And what we're comparing is the actual clusters of multiple grades of copper and multiple percent of copper and high-grade gold occurring, plus low-grade copper and low-grade gold occurring on the contact between the intrusive rocks and these Ferrobamba limestones. So we have about 5 or 6 big clusters, and if you look at Las Bambas, that's the same amount of clusters that make up their big mining complex. For the benefit of value, to the simple, just a way of understanding Las Bambas, if you calculate the value of the metal there today, it's copper and molybdenum, they come out to a value of about 1.7 billion tons of 0.6% copper gold equivalent, if you were to look at our copper equivalent, which is about $60 billion worth of copper that's sitting there. And so when we're looking at Sombrero, we're targeting a $60 billion potential discovery. And instead of copper and moly making up the 0.6% copper they have, we're looking at copper and gold. And if you're familiar with skarn systems, that's generally where you're going to find the exciting grade that we're all going to like to see when it gets drilled. Now, we've announced our targeting recently, and we came out with a comparison to Las Bambas publicly. There's other mines nearby. Las Chancas was found by Southern Peru Copper. It's a significant mine. Tintaya, it's one of BHP's most profitable mines they ever had, as well as near other mines in the region. And what we're looking at is a ton of similarities between those mines and the Sombrero project. So the question comes and says, well, how did you guys get this and how was it missed? Well, there's a guy in our team in Peru, his name is Miguel Cardozo, and he's actually worked with Newmont previously. And what he did there was he was tasked to go and determine if they should sell or keep Yanacocha when Yanacocha was a silver deposit. You know, at the time he spent 5 months in the field on the project, Jay, and he saw it differently. He saw the potential for gold. 60 million ounces later, you know, that was his discovery when he was with Newmont. Discovering it so substantial, right? And this geologist is a very smart guy. He's the one who acquired Sombrero about a decade or more ago, and he acquired it back in the day in the last bull market. He had a little junior public company, and it ran out of money like everyone else did as we crossed 2011 into the bear market. That's where the opportunity came, but Miguel never got a chance to do the work on Sombrero. Our technical team is extremely thorough, and it's a lot of gentlemen from Newmont. And what they've done is the thorough, detailed work. And the outcome of that has been spectacular. Now, we have one more layer of information to provide the market. It's a big one. It's going to be a 3D modeling of our targets. And I'll be honest with you, Jay, in the 20 years I've been in the business, and not just as an executive or an entrepreneur looking for gold mines, also as an investor in other companies, such as Aurelian, which was a huge discovery, or Redback, which found Mauritania over in Africa. The Sombrero project ranks as the number one thing that I could be part of. And, you know, when you start talking about, as an arm weight before you drill your first holes, but a $60 billion target, you don't find this anywhere, Jay. And this is the kind of thing that I dreamt about as a natural resource investor. Now, we're sitting here with 7 projects. Committee Bay has gotten a lot closer to a major discovery than people think. And that will take time and a drill result to determine that. But we'll have 40 pads permitted for Sombrero drilling, which will start in May. That's when we anticipate to have those. And we're about to get access to a bunch more of the ground around where we've been working. There's 2 communities that control the whole area. We've had the first community agreement done for some time. The second one should be wrapped up by the end of December. And so what we're looking forward to is a plethora of trench results and new targets that we can see copper outcropping on surface. We just haven't trenched it yet. And this will fill, you know, be the main catalyst as we go to tell the world and show the world how big the opportunity is at Sombrero. So a lot of more news to come out of Peru as we get ready to drill it. And, you know, that leaves us with two major drill programs next year, one being Sombrero and one being Committee Bay. But neither one of these are obligations. These are, you know, things that we have the luxury of determining how aggressive, how much to drill or not drill. And what I'm saying there is that we're not going to put us in a financial penalty box where we have a gun to our head to raise money and push ourselves into a dilutionary state to drill things under an option agreement. We actually have the luxury of determining how aggressive we can be. And the benefit of Sombrero in Peru is if you start with 10,000 meters, you can finish the year with 40,000 meters of drilling because we'll have the permitted pads to drill that many meters.
Well, just sort of to summarize Sombrero then, what is the size of the target that you're looking at here, Ivan? Can you give us a sense? And I noticed that also along about June of this year, the Mulla Cruz concessions, which are, I believe, in the northern area of the Sombrero project, that you picked up. But are you saying that there's some more of these claims that you're looking to pick up that would make it even larger? So can you give us an idea of what the ultimate size of this target is?
To be completely frank about it, we don't know. I would say we're starting off with 1.5 to 2 billion tons as a look, very similar to what you see at Las Bambas, right? And we're hoping to get a grade of what Las Bambas has, copper gold equivalent, or hopefully higher, you know, for the ambition of greed to find more value in the metal because ours is copper gold. So when you look at these things and you ask how big could it be, you know, the real estate is there that we could find, you know, a couple of these major centers of deposits. It might be, you know, a couple Las Bambas in the entire land position because we have about 120,000 hectares. The area we worked in, we've only had in Sombrero North, and this is about 50,000 hectares. We've only had access to half of it so far. The other half has a bunch of other targets that we've seen, we've walked over, but we haven't done enough work on them yet. So, you know, internally we're seeing 1.5 to 2 billion tons. We're hoping to match the grade of Las Bambas or possibly higher grade. There is a potential outcome that we have 500 million tons, but we may have way higher grade than what they're doing over there. And that would be, you know, the preferred outcome from any mining perspective, right? But this is a substantial target, 1.5 to 2 billion tons. That's our first look. You'll see high grade in the skarn, and then you'll see low grade in the porphyry targets, which will make up hopefully a volume that kind of gets to that state. And it's a substantial Peruvian giant mine that gets found, much like the other ones nearby in the area. So it's big, Jake. It's about as big as I think it can actually be right now in the global exploration business. I don't know anyone going and taking a swing at something like this out there, and I'd love to see it if they are.
Ivan, how soon will the drills begin to turn? And I think you're still looking for some permitting yet to do the drilling, and that should come sometime first half of the year, I suppose?
Yeah, permitting is well underway. We started that process in August, and so we've gone through the environmental, and you know, there's a few more stages of the permitting, and what we're targeting publicly is May of next year, and it could be, you know, a few weeks sooner, it could be a few weeks later, because you never control that specifically. But I would say with a lot of confidence, I think May is in the middle of the conservatism. It's not too conservative and it's not too aggressive, so it's a good reason to expect that by then.
Are these relatively shallow drill holes that you'll be drilling? And you mentioned 40 pads, so it's 40 different sites where you're going to turn the drills?
Yeah, we're getting permitted for 40 pads, and you can obviously drill more than one hole off each pad. You know, I was talking to the technical team recently, and I believe that a lot of the holes will be 250 to 300 meters from surface. There are some areas, and we've said this publicly, that we see it going down to 400 to 600 meters, you know, continuous potential mineralization from surface. And these are big. These are big targets. And when we announce the 3D, which we expect to have out before the end of the year, and show the market the 3D targets that come out of this thing, you know, I think there's going to be some very positive surprises on how well this thing has come together. It's going to be a lot more revealing than to what we've put out so far. And even the general non-geological investor we'll be able to see big shapes, which are targets identified through the work we've done so far that we're going to go and test and drill. And, you know, for me, it's exciting because not only is there a volume component, but there's also a grade component. And all this work has, you know, caught the attention of a few more companies. And, you know, there's no question that some CAs are being signed on the back of the work we've done so far by some of the largest guys in the business that would look for these things. And, you know, we're not in any rush to sell it. We have a great partner with Goldcorp as a major shareholder of our company. I think because it has a large gold component as well as copper component, I think that the interest falls across everyone's palette, both gold and base metal companies. And, you know, I think going into next year with something like this that we can work on 12 months of the year, this is kind of how we've had our previous successes that you've alluded to at the start of this conversation. Both Caden and Keegan were projects we could work on 12 months of the year. There was a huge amount of outcrop, and, you know, the risk of discovery was very similar to what we see at Sombrero, but the magnitude of Sombrero is dwarfing those in size. You know, the one thing we promised with Orin, and you've touched on it earlier, is to go and find something that is, you know, legacy-oriented for shareholders. We want to find equivalent of a 10, 20 million ounce gold mine. In Las Bambas comparison, that'd be a 50 million ounce gold mine in comparison of equivalent value of gold to copper, you know, if you put them side by side. So that's the kind of thing we've set out to do as a group. And the 4 years that have been up and down, I mean, there's been great returns if people have been trading it. We've been just buying it as insiders. But, you know, at the outcome of this, I think when the discovery comes, whether it be at Sombrero next year, and I think the chances are really high there, or if Committee Bay finally delivers, the wait and the tough, you know, waiting that we've all been through will be more than worth it with this company. And, you know, our goal is to deliver a 20 to 30 time return from current prices. And in the middle of tax loss selling, I think the opportunity is quite clear.
No doubt about it. With about 30 seconds left, how's your finances at this time, Ivan? You're going to have to go back to the well anytime soon?
So that's a great question. We obviously have more projects than Committee Bay and Sombrero. You know, the Wiakoyo project in Peru, something we drilled earlier this year, where we've been discussing selling this project for nearly a year and a half, or in the very mature stages of that. And, you know, that would be the first priority of potentially self-financing ourselves, as well as our Homestead Ridge project in BC, which, you know, is a very mature deposit of about 1.3 million ounces, 7.5 grams. What we'd like to do, Jay, between now and next May when we go drill, is sell these two projects to self-finance ourselves so we don't have to go back to market. We wouldn't have to go back to market if we sold one of these between now and March of next year. So I'm in Peru as I'm talking to you now, and that will be where I continually come down until, you know, the transaction moves forward. And at this stage in time, we're not looking for any money from the marketplace. We have plenty of money to start the year and potentially complete one or if not possibly both asset sales before a drill turns next year. So as a junior, two huge swings, one's mature and a treasury that potentially self-finances from asset sales as we go take a swing on some of the biggest things in the business.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Ivan. It's really great to hear from you again. It's a wonderful story, one I'm extremely excited about even more now. Gotten this update from you. Thank you so much, and we'll look to keep up with you.